Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
It is week number 4, our very last week of the ABCs of financial freedom. And I hope you've been enjoying it. I hope you've been discussing and talking about it and being stretched, right? Because really, when we talk about allowing God to have say-so and control in our lives, we're really talking about spiritual growth and maturity. And that's really what's at the heart of this series, is that we would just continue to take another step and grow spiritually. Take another step and allow us to grow up and be more mature in our spiritual life. And there's evidences of growth and maturity that we see in our lives. Like if I were to go to the gym every day, the evidence would, I would look a little bit more like Pastor Justin. But the evidence is not there because I don't go to the gym every day. So there's, but same thing spiritually, there's evidences spiritually of when we exercise and grow spiritually. And scripture defines one of those things as what we talked about last week. And if you missed any of the weeks or you're just needing a refresher, I encourage you to get on the podcast, get on our website and watch those videos. Just refresh yourselves on that. Week number 1, we started with the ABCs. We did the letter A, attitude, right? Because it all starts with attitude. It starts in the heart, right? God is looking for people whose hearts are turn towards him. God isn't looking to get things from us. In fact, he's trying to get things to us. We just have to begin to align our heart and our ways with his ways, right? So we have to get our hearts in line with him. So it starts in attitude. Before we can talk about any other spiritual principle, we got to get ourselves in God's way, right? God's way works. Our way on our own is what, those are the things that don't work. In week number 2, we talked about the letter B, and that was bondage. How God doesn't want us to be in the bondage of debt. He doesn't want us to be slaves to debt. Scripture says that the borrower is slave to the lender. So God wants us to be on a pathway, taking steps to get out of debt because he wants us to live a life that's generous. He doesn't always want us to be on the take. He wants us to be on the giving side of life. And so God doesn't want us to be stuck always in debt and bondage, paying Chase, paying Home Depot, paying we need to be on a pathway to be out of debt. So we're going to do some things, embrace some different values, values like self-control, right? Values like sacrifice. Sacrifice is we give up something we love for something we love even more. We're going to embrace the values of planning. We're going to communicate and plan budget things in our lives so that when there's a moments to be generous, that we're ready to be generous. Last week, we talked about the letter C, choice, right? And how it's our choice to return the tithe to the storehouse. We read in Malachi chapter 3 how there's a direct correlation to our relationship with God and our bringing the tithe into the storehouse. Scripture says, hey, God is calling us to return to him. And he says, well, how do we return to you? And he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So this is part of the evidence of our spiritual growth, right? Part of the evidence of our maturing and our growing is our returning the tithe, because we talked about last week and we learned how what we have actually belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. We're not the owners, we're just the stewards. And so when we talk about tithing, we're not talking about giving. Giving is separate from tithing, because tithing is returning the first 10% of what we have to the Lord, because it's his anyway. He's entrusted it to us. We return this to him. And it's evidence of our spiritual growth and maturity when that happens. Right. This week, we're going to continue on and wrap up the series with the letter D. I've heard from so many different people, so many of you asking, what's the letter D? Why isn't the letter D in the title? Well, because it's more fun to say the ABCs of financial freedom than the ABCDs of financial freedom. I don't know. It's just the way it was. But it's true. That's right. My school teacher friend, Caitlin, she told me it was true. But today we're going to talk about the letter D, and that is decision. And for us, it's the decision to be generous. Our world shows generosity in different ways, and many of us are generous in different ways. Maybe you've been leaving Walmart or some of those stores, and they've got this time of year, they've got the bell ringers, right? And we're generous in those moments, right? But it's kind of random generosity, right? That happens. And we see that taking place in so many different areas of life. We're like, oh, let me find that 20 I got from Bobby last week and put it in there. No, I gave Bobby his 20 back in case you're wondering. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to watch the message from last week and you'll find out. But it's those moments or when, you know, the boys and the girls knock on your door and they've got those dollar candy bars they're selling to benefit their school, right? You know the ones I'm talking about. Those are good candy bars. And we're like, okay, right? There's these moments in our lives that occur of this kind of random or haphazard generosity. But as people who follow Jesus, I would propose that we're called to live lives of intentional generosity. Intentional generosity. So today I want to talk about that decision, because we can talk about attitude, we can talk about being out of debt, we could talk about returning the tithe and our choices, but really it all comes down to our decision. What are we going to do with what we have? What are we going to do with the things that we've been entrusted with and what we've learned? It's our decision what we're going to do with it. We know that when we return the first 10% of our tithe, then we have this 90%, and it's up to us what we do with the 90%, right? And we know that our 90% with God goes a lot further than 100% on our own. But then what are we going to do with this 90%? And too many times we take this mentality that culture feeds us that we're entitled. Well, this is my 90% now. What are you talking about, generosity? Right? This entitled mentality. But in fact, we're not called to be entitled. We are actually entrusted with resources so that we can be generous. Right? It's this intentional generosity. The word intentional means deliberate or done on purpose. So our generosity should be deliberate. It should be done on purpose. I fully believe there should be spontaneous moments of generosity, but that's not the norm. Our generosity should be intentional. It's done on purpose. It's planned out. And so this morning, I want to talk about this idea of intentional generosity. Intentional generosity. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write a few of these things down, and we're going to talk about some exciting things this morning. Intentional generosity. At Victory, we say it like this. We say, we live to express generosity. Why? Because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than receive. We live to express generosity. Why? Because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. The biblical phrase for this whole idea of generosity is sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And it's kind of, I've heard it gotten a bad rap, this whole idea of sowing and reaping. Sometimes people in the world call it, you know, cause and effect. Some people are like, well, it's karma. But it's not that. God actually instituted this whole idea of sowing and reaping. And we see it all throughout Scripture. And I want to explain it today and talk about it today, because it's really God's principle. And when we begin to apply God's principles in the different areas of our lives, it begins to work and produce results and fruit. We see in Genesis chapter 8, all the way at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 8, Noah, he's in the boat. The flood waters have receded. The flood's over. And he comes out of the ark. He's worshiping the Lord and sacrificing in this moment. And the Lord speaks to him and he says this phrase. He says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest time. As long as the earth remains, there will be sowing and reaping. So we see from the very start, sowing and reaping was God's idea. It's just that the enemy likes to creep in and take something that God made to benefit his people and kind of twist it, kind of distort it, kind of lie to people so that people then get offended by it. Well, he's just talking about, you know, he just wants us to give more. See, this is the enemy's voice creeping and trying to twist things and distort things. And I understand and I know and I've experienced bad communication and bad examples of this process and even pressure in this process, right? Maybe you've been in a place like that where there's been pressure, and that's not what this is. I'm not talking about any of that, because I don't believe that's my place to apply pressure or even tell you what to give. The tithe is one thing, but we're not talking about giving there. We're returning our 10%. When we're talking about generosity, we're talking about giving over and above the tithe. That's something that's different than the tithe. It's over and above, out of this 90% that I've been entrusted with, what am I going to do with it, right? But see, it's not my place to stand here and say, well, you should give this specific amount to this place and all that kind of stuff. I'm not your Holy Spirit. And that's not my job or my position. See, you have the Holy Spirit. Scripture says when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, right? And he speaks to us. He speaks to you. So when you ask him, what do you want me to give? He's going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. He's going to tell you. And then my job is to tell you what Scripture says, to tell you God's word, what's in there, and then tell you to trust him, to tell you to ask him. And then he'll tell you, and then do what he asks you to do. That's the process here. So as we're talking today, there's going to be two voices speaking to you. The enemy's going to try to lie to you. He's always going to be creeping in, countering what the Word of God says, twisting what the Word of God says. And then there's the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's conviction. That's drawing us closer. So I encourage you today as we talk about this idea of intentional generosity to allow the Holy Spirit to speak in your life. And don't confuse generosity and God's blessing with this idea of, you know, God's a big guy up in the sky and he's just dropping money out. Or God's this big, you know, slot machine. I'm going to put my money in. I'm going to pull the arm and I'm going to get a jackpot. That's not the process, right? That's not God. God's blessings are way better than that whole concept, that whole idea. God's blessings are complete. They're in every aspect of your life. And we're going to look at this in Scripture. So if you've got your Bible today, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. I want to look at this today. And he's writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, yes, you will be enriched. One translation says, you will be made rich in every way. Now that's where we can stop. We can praise the Lord. We're like, hey, come on, Jesus. Right? But the Scripture goes on. The Scripture goes on. Yes, you'll be enriched in every way. So that, meaning the reason for your being made rich in every way, so that you can sometimes, whenever you feel like it, be generous to people. No. What does it say? What's that word there?
Always.
I heard this side real good. Let me try this side. So that you can, what's the word?
Always.
I heard right there. This side. So you can
always
be generous. There we go. Now we're awake this morning. God wants to make you rich, but not just financially. God's blessings, yes, do include financial blessings, but God's blessings are far beyond just financial. God's blessings are peace in your home. They're everywhere. In all ways, you'll be made rich so that you can always be generous. See, God blesses you with more than you need so that you can be a blessing. I'll let you open up Instagram. God blesses you with more than you need so that you can be a blessing, right? God's blessings are not just for us. We're not reservoirs, right? We have rivers of living water flowing from us, right? Rivers. We're called to be outgoing, right? There's the Dead Sea in Israel, right? And why is it called the Dead Sea? Because there's nothing flowing out. So it's just building up all this stuff. And it's got all this salt and stuff that builds up. And nothing ever flows out. It only takes in. That's not the picture that we're called to be. We're called to be a life of generosity. We're called to be flowing out. Movement coming out. Right? It's not just so that we can be blessed and be like, great, I got the 80-inch plasma, y'all. Right? Those things are good. And I'm not saying it's not wrong to have those. And God will bless you with things. He'll bless you with families. He'll bless you with the right relationships. He'll bless you with jobs. He'll bless you with prosperity. He'll bless you with increase. He'll bless you with better jobs and raises. He'll bless you with influence. He'll put the right people in your life at the right time to strengthen you, to encourage you. God's blessing goes far beyond what we can think or imagine. It's awesome. So don't just see the one picture that we have of God. And the reason God blesses us is again, not because we can hold on to everything and keep everything, right? Because in reality, we are called to be Christ's representative. Scripture actually goes so far as to say God is making his appeal, or he's using us to show his goodness to other people. We are his representatives. And through your life that other people see, that's how they're going to see God. Because God is making his appeal to others through you. So the question then is, well, not can I just be blessed? Can I have this blessing? God is, well, if I'm just always constantly full of fear and anxiety and I'm just always depressed and people at my work know that I go to church and, you know, they're struggling with, you know, fear and depression too, but they don't, you know, they see the same thing in me. Why would they come and ask me how to get out of it? Because I'm in the same thing they're in. See, God's blessing brings peace. There's no fear and anxiety where God's blessings are. See, God gives me more peace than I need because our world is full of fear. And we're called to cast out fear. We're called to cast out anxiety. See, the anointing of God follows you wherever you go. And it's God's anointing that breaks yokes and destroys bondages off of people's lives. But if I'm stuck under that same yoke and bondage, how am I then going to be Christ's example and be like, hey, you can have the same freedom I have, except right? If I'm just barely making it, you know, I'm just barely scraping by and I'm saying, hey, I'm blessed. Hey, how are you? I'm blessed, right? But I'm just living in destruction and despair and I never have enough. Then how am I representing our gracious and generous God? See, God blesses me with more than I need so that I can be a blessing. So when somebody sees my life, they're like, whoa, why are you living so good? Because I have the blessing of God in my life. You can have it too. See, this is why we're blessed, right? Come on. Come on. God wants us to live in this place of freedom. So I want to rewind the scripture a little bit. We're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I purposely read the last part of this passage first. And I want to rewind to the beginning of this passage of scripture in verse 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says this. It says, remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will reap generously. So each of you should give what you've decided. This is that D word, decision. What you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. See, he's saying here, I want you to put some thought into it. I want you to plan on being generous. Because in that, I don't want you to be pressured. I don't want you to be dragged along. Oh, I guess I better give today. Come on. I don't want you to be that. I want you to make the decision so that when you do it, you're excited about it. That it's not like, oh, I guess I'm going. And it goes on. He says, God is able to bless you abundantly. So that, notice the recurring word in this phrase. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, this is the place of financial freedom that God has been leading us to, so that in all things, at all times, we'll have abundance in every good work. Did you know you can have abundance for every good work? That's good. You can have abundance in every good work. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. You can have abundance in every good work. Right? Man, this is part of my prayer every night. Lord, help us to give us abundance for every good thing. Because not because I need to have stuff, because I want to be about doing good things. I want to be about making a difference in our community. That's what this church is about. It's about making a difference in other people's lives. That's why we need the good things that God gives us so we can go out and make a difference, y'all. It's not so that we can say that we have all this great stuff. It's so that we can make a difference. I love this next passage of scripture. He says, it's written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor and their righteousness endures forever. Now here's the power. Listen to this. He says, now this is God, he who supplies seed to the sower is you and me, he supplies seed to us and he supplies bread for food. He will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And here it is again. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. See, you need to see here, we see it in the beginning, we see it at the end, all throughout the book, sowing and reaping is God's idea. They're principles that he put into motion in the earth. They're not haphazard, they're not accidental. And God put sowing and reaping into the earth so that he could get an abundance to his people to accomplish his works on the earth. I'll say that again. God put sowing and reaping into motion on the earth so that he could get abundance to his people to accomplish his purpose on the earth. To accomplish his purpose. So I want to give you a couple things about sowing and reaping. And I want you to write these down, type them in your phone, whatever you got to do, so that this week you can begin to rehearse these things. Because it's as we think back over things that we begin to see, oh man, God is working in this area of my life. We begin to see the blessing that God is bringing to our life. So if you're taking notes, write these things down. Six principles of sowing and reaping. Number one, sowing and reaping is a law of nature. It's God instituted it into the natural world. And every farmer understands this principle of sowing and reaping, because if you never sow any seeds, you're never going to have any plants to harvest when it comes harvest time, right? If you were to go up to a farmer and you said, hey, how's the crop? Well, I didn't plant anything, so. All right, right? Every farmer understands this principle. If nothing's sown, nothing's going to grow. But if I sow some seeds, something's going to grow, right? Yeah. It's a law of nature. But for me, I don't have any cornfields. I don't. I know it's just a sad thing. I wanted to tell you guys this morning. I don't own any cornfields, and I don't even actually own a single corn seed. So sadly, I won't have a harvest of corn in the fall. And I just wanted to share that with you and let you know. But even if I did have some corn fields, some ground, you know, it would take me going out there and actually digging up the dirt. It would take me getting my hands dirty. It would take me putting the seeds in there and actually purchasing the seeds long before I ever had a harvest, putting them into the ground. It would take me paying for some water to come out there. And, it costs me something to have a seed, and it costs me something to have a harvest, right? It doesn't just happen on its own. It takes me doing some things. You might find an analogy there in our lives, and I'll let you figure that one out on the way home. Number two, sowing and reaping is also a spiritual law. It's also a spiritual law. In Galatians 6, verse 7, it says this. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps whatever he sows." Another translation says it this way. "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest whatever you plant." I love this picture, the justice of God. For me, it comes to my mind as just like a courtroom scene, and God is the judge, right? And see, the truth of the matter is, Scripture is telling us, is that God is the judge, and he has a say-so in the decision, in fact, on what our harvest will be on whatever we plant. We can't mock the justice of God. We're going to harvest whatever we plant. So I don't know if you like what you're harvesting or not. Maybe you need to change what you're planting, because for sure, we're going to harvest what we sow. That brings me to number three. We reap in kind to whatever we sow. We reap in kind whatever you sow. That just means that if I were to go in my backyard and plant some orange seeds, I'm going to get a grapefruit tree, right? No. Am I going to get a lemon tree? No. Am I going to get corn? No, I'm going to get an orange tree, right? Because I planted oranges. So whatever I plant, that's what's going to grow. So if you're just always, you know, if you're having issues in your marriage, you're fighting all the time, well, maybe you need to plant some different seeds into your spouse. And yes, you can plant seeds into your marriage. Maybe you need to do some more of this. And then when you open this, plant some seeds of life. And, right? If you want a different harvest, you need to plant some different seeds. If you're struggling with your kids and you're always yelling at them, tell them that they're not good enough and they're not going to make it, and you wonder why they've got F's and D's and they're not following rules, then maybe you need to plant some different seeds into your kids' lives and get a different harvest in return. You need to plant seeds for whatever harvest you want. You need to plant seeds for whatever harvest that you want. Galatians chapter 6, if we continue to verse 7, we said, don't be misled. You can't mock the justice of God. You'll always harvest what you plant. Verse 8 says this. Whoever sows to the flesh will reap the flesh destruction. You'll get destruction back. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He's just iterating this point for us again. Whatever you sow, if you constantly sow to destruction and death in your life, that's what you're going to get back. But if you sow to things of the Spirit, you're going to reap life back. Sow the seeds for the harvest that you want. Number four, we reap proportionally to what we sow. We reap proportionally to what we sow. Every farmer knows this to be true. In fact, if I were to only plant one seed, I'm only going to get one corn stalk, right? But see, that's what I love about Florida, is that when you drive out of the city, you can be driving around, just happen to come on these orange groves, right? They're all over the place. And I love them because you can just see like rows and rows of orange trees. Like I love to roll the windows down, right? And you're like, smells so fresh and orangey and stuff, right? And it's Florida, it is. I love that. But you know, those farmers, they didn't just plant one tree. Because if they had only planted the one tree, that's all that would have grown. Because we always reap in proportion to what we sow. So I'm just planting a little bit. I'm only going to reap a little bit. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So if I'm stingy with my words, I'm going to reap stingy words and harvest. If I'm not generous, if I'm always just being angry and just can't control myself, guess what I'm going to get back? I'm going to get a harvest of that back in my life. But on the flip side, if I'm sowing peace into other people's lives and I'm constantly building other people up, guess what? I'm going to be built up. It's going to return. That's going to be the harvest. I'm going to get a harvest of peace. Whatever I sow, that's what I'm going to get back into my life. Number five, we always reap more than we sow. Always reap more than you sow. It's interesting to me about a seed is that a watermelon seed specifically, when you plant just a single watermelon seed, it'll grow a vine and it can produce, you know, anywhere, you know, couple, two, three, four, five. I've read some even up to 8 or 10 watermelons off of a single watermelon vine. And that's pretty amazing. One seed can produce that many. And that's great. But what you need to understand is that inside of each watermelon, there can be anywhere from 200 to 800 more seeds. So off of one seed that's planted, I can have multiplied thousands more seeds that are harvested, right? We always reap more than we sow. That brings me to number six. This is the one that gets the most amens. There's always distance between planting season and harvest season. There's always distance there. There's distance. And I wish that was different. I wish it was, because sometimes, you know, we're like, we're planting seed and we're like, where's my harvest? I don't see it coming. Where is it? Right? But there's always a space there. And it's never the same. The space is always different. But if you were to ask a farmer about the distance between planting season and harvest season, he would tell you, of course, there's a distance. An orange seed, when you plant it, actually takes 10 to 15 years before the tree is ready to produce fruit. That's a lot of waiting for oranges, y'all. I'm just going to go to Publix and buy some oranges. I got to be honest. That's a lot of waiting. A watermelon seed, you plant it, and I read it can be 60 to 100 days. There's just distance there. But let's take a little trip for a minute. You guys up for a road trip? Okay, let's take an imaginary road trip. We're all in the car, right? The kids are in the back. Keep it down! Right? So we're driving down the road. We're in Iowa. And there's corn stalks on our left, right? And we look to the right, and it's just an empty field. I'm like, that's cool. Corn stalks over here, right? And we're driving along, and all of a sudden, we see this guy out in the middle of the field. And he's just on his hands and knees, and he's just digging, right? He's just digging, going to town. And we do what any normal person would do, pull the car over, get out, and be like, bro, what are you doing? He's like, don't worry, I'm just digging up these seeds that I planted. You know, they're not going to grow in your hand. I know. I planted them yesterday. They haven't done anything yet, so I'm just digging them back up. Let's get back in the car. See you later, bro. We got to go. Dude's crazy, right? What farmer would do that? Nobody would do that because it takes more than a day to grow some seeds. But I wonder how many times in our own lives where we plant seeds and then we don't see an immediate thing and instantly we're taking it back, digging it back up. There's distance between that space. And this is the distance in which our faith and our trust in God grows. There's going to be distance in that space. The interesting thing about seasons also is that, you know, in the natural, we have four seasons. We have spring and summer, fall and winter. But a farmer, he won't do the same things in every season. He actually does different things in each season. And what he does in the season that he's in is never for that season. It's always for the next season, right? So when I'm planting seeds, you know, it's never for the harvest. It's because I'm preparing for the harvest in the next season. So when I'm planting seeds, it's never for where I'm at. It's for the future. When I'm harvesting, I'm doing things to prepare for the winter so that after the harvest is over, the land will be okay through winter. And in the winter, I'm preparing the land and the equipment for the planting season. And see, I'm always preparing for the next season and for wherever I'm at. Right? See, we've got to get ourselves in this mode of sowing and reaping and not expect God to be a microwave God, because he's not. He's not the microwave type of God. There's distance in that space. But I encourage you in this, and the point of sowing and reaping is that there's power in our seed. There's power in your seed. Look at your neighbor and say, there's power in your seed. That's right. Too many times I think we get mixed up and we get focused on the harvest because it's either for a need that we have, something we're expecting for, something we're believing for. And we spend more time, in fact, you know, focused on that, believing for it, thinking about it. You know, we got pictures on our wall, whatever it is, you know, and those are good things. We should do that. But we have to remember that the point of it all is not about the harvest. The power and the point is actually in the seed. But it's just too many times we allow culture to influence us and we get mixed up in this whole idea of consuming things. And instead of keeping our seed in the ground and actually planting seed that God is leading us and calling us to plant, we end up just taking it and consuming it all. right? Whether that's for paying down, you know, just staying in debt and paying on things, or because they're just things we got to have and we don't have self-control, or whatever it is, we're just consuming all this, consuming our 90% rather than stopping and saying, God, where do you want me to be generous? I want to be intentionally generous, right? And being generous with the 90% that we are left to manage and to resource, right? Where in fact, we're not consumers, right? And scripture even says he gives seed to the sower. He doesn't give seed to the consumers. He gives seed to the sower. So if you're in the place, you're like, Pastor, I just started the 90-day tithe challenge last week, and now you're talking to me about giving above and beyond that. Maybe you're not ready at that place yet. You're taking those steps. So some of you are. You've been tithing for a while, and you're in this place where now God is leading you to take the next step to be intentionally generous in your life with your time. That's why I love the Dream Team so much, y'all, because they're generous with their time and their physical effort. Those are resources that God has entrusted to us, right? And it's just, what are we going to do with those? That's why we have church in the morning, right? We come together. We give him the first part of our week together. We worship together. We allow God to speak to us. But man, what would it look like if we had, if there was a waiting list to be on the setup team? Man, imagine how many other churches and campuses we could plant across our city, across our state, across our nation, around the world, if we had people that were ready and in position. Put me, I'm ready, right? But instead, I just can't. I need this 30 minutes for myself. Imagine if we had so many people waiting to greet people outside of church that there wasn't even space for people to walk in. Can y'all see it?
Yes.
Come on. But we've got to get ourselves to this place where we're sowing our lives. It's not just sowing our resources. We sow finances. We sow resources. We sow our time. If you need more time, sow your time. We sow our life into the kingdom of God. And then we receive a blessing back. We reap the harvest of that back in our life. And then we have abundance in our life for every good thing.
Amen.
It's a principle. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. For me as a church, for me personally and as a church, we've just decided that this is how we're going to be. That's why we say we live to express generosity. We truly believe it's more blessed to give than receive.
Yes.
Giving is not something we do, y'all. Generous is who we are.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Giving is not something we do. Generous is who we are. Because we serve a generous God. We serve an all-in, always generous God. Think about what he did for us, y'all. How generous God. He did not have to send Jesus for us. We were lost in sin. We were far from him. In fact, people were spitting in his face even while he was dying on the cross. Man, he did not have to go through all this for us, but he did. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He showed us how to be generous, giving our best, giving our all for the sake of someone else, right? And he even, here's the crazy thing. In this process of giving, this is God planting seed. I want you to see this. God planted Jesus as a seed, right? For the harvest of us, for the harvest of the world. God is showing us this principle that as we plant seed, we will reap a harvest in our lives. See, this is the picture. I want to give you guys a picture of the church, of who we're called to be, because we're heading into the new year. We're going to have some amazing things that we're going to do as a church. But man, I want to get you stirred up. I want to get you fired up. I want to get you activated into things that God is calling you to be, because the reality is, for us to accomplish all that God has called us to do as a church, it's going to take all of us. It can't be me and Pastor Justin and my wife Heather running on our own. That's not going to get it done. It's going to take all of us. Man, I see a church that has multiple hope trucks going out to multiple places a day. Not because we need to have more trucks. It's because we need to reach more boys and girls, more families that aren't going to come into this place and hear about Jesus. We're going to go to them, right? Man, I want to have one truck is great. I want to have 5, 6, 7, 8. I want to have 8 of those. And let's go to 8 places in one day. Man. Someday, man, yes, people ask me, do you want to have your own building one day? Yeah, I want to have my own building, but not because I want to have a building. I want to have a place where people can come.
Yes.
See, all the things that we have, they're not about the things we have. They're about reaching more and more people. Next week, we're going to do our legacy offering, and that's the same thing. We do this legacy offering every year, and it's not about the church having things. It's not about us. It's beginning to position us so that as we come into the new year, we're ready to move and to do the things that God is calling us to do. So we have this legacy offering where we all come together as a church, where we sacrifice. We give something we love for something we love even more. Reaching more people, expanding God's kingdom so that we're ready for the opportunities that we have so that we can, as a church, be intentionally generous in our community, right? So we can reflect God the way he's showing himself to us, to others, right? Let me show you this picture in the Bible of the original church. Can you give me 3 more minutes? I went a little long. I'm sorry. 5 or 10. I want to give you this picture from the book of Acts, chapter 4, because it's such a beautiful picture of the early church and how they grew together. It says this in verse 34, it says, "And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them." See, the backstory of this is that it says that they all came together and they sold what they have and they freely gave together. Nothing was held of my own. We are one. We are moving together in a spirit of generosity, and the grace of God was so powerful among them. There was no needy people among them. Man, can you imagine what our community would be like if our church was like that? Moved with intentional, even irrational generosity to reach people for the kingdom. This is the church we're called to be. What if we plant? What if we built 3 homes this last year, rescue homes in Asia? Isn't that awesome? Man, what if we built 10 next year because we're a generous church? What if, man, imagine the good we could do, not just here in East Orlando or just Orlando, greater Orlando. What about Florida? What about the United? What about the world? What could we do if we are an irrational, intentional church with generosity? Man, y'all, we can do something to change this place. Ben, why don't you guys come back up? I want to pray for you guys this morning. Lord, I thank you just for being in this place with us right now, Lord God. I thank you for calling us out of darkness into light, into your